Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Altshuler on this InnoSign Network Healing Day of Prayer. And unfortunately, today I won't be with my counterpart, Dr. Anton Raimondo, who is away visiting his daughter at a nursing ceremony out in Steubenville. So, Anton, we miss you. Today is the first Friday's always been the healing day of prayer, and I really, this is just a wonderful gift of this radio station to be able to allow this day to do that. So the way it works for your first-time listeners is that if you have any prayer requests or you'd like to call in and speak about something I'm speaking about today, feel free to call. The phone number is 610-527-2906. So 610-527-2906 or toll free 888-343-2484. And we'll start with a prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for being our Lord and God. Lord Jesus, we pray that you may send down your most Holy Spirit upon myself and all our listeners, and all those who are here helping with the engineering and the answering the phones today here at the InnoSign Network. We pray, Lord, that your most Holy Spirit will touch each of our listeners and give them any type of physical, emotional, or spiritual healing they need. Pray you may enlighten each of our minds to grow closer to you, Jesus, and be part of, to just receive your infinite love and mercy and your healing touch. And we praise you and thank you in advance, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to start with a reading. I always like to do a reading, and I'd like to do today's reading from the mass reading from the it's a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated him in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they knew what he was speaking about. And although they were attempting to arrest him, they feared the crowds, for they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, that for today's gospel, it really certainly looks like, it kind of reminds me of something I heard this morning, where we're really, each of us are in the vineyard, and are we going to use the gifts that God gives us to produce the good fruits? Or are we going to waste them? Are we going to try to take them over? We have to understand all of our gifts are God's gifts. They're really not ourselves, no matter what type of spiritual gifts we might have or financial success we have or whatever it is. It's all really it's just a blessing and a gift from God. And understanding that the purpose of our earthly journey is certainly share the gifts with others and produce the gifts so we can bring, but the key is to bring others and ourselves closer to God and in the kingdom of heaven, because that's where really our eternity is, to be in heaven. And what we are in this earthly journey, it's just a temporary thing. And a lot of times we tend to forget that, and we look for the short term, the material thing, but we realize we don't look afar to see what's really important and what is some of the most important things. And I think that's what's so nice about the Lenten time period, is we have a chance to reflect, go out into the desert, and think about ourselves, our faith, and how can we grow closer to Jesus, and how can we do that? And the key thing, I think, which it's coming as the Spirit's leading me right now, is it's important for us to remember that Jesus is always with us. And when we go off on an island by ourselves and try to handle things by ourselves and do it my way or try to do it our way rather than do it along with Jesus, life just becomes so much easier, because Jesus is love and mercy, and he wants to be with us and help us and assist us all the times. And a lot of us, and many of our listeners, you know, are going through some very difficult physical, emotional, or spiritual times. And the key is you're not alone. Jesus is always with you. And also our brothers and sisters who are hearing these prayers can join in the prayer, intercessory prayers. That's why if any of you are prompted by the Holy Spirit to call, and I'll repeat the number again, but please call in, ask a prayer request, or talk about a concern, prayer request you yourself have. And then what happens is many of the other listeners are joining in this intercessory prayer, and it's not just myself, Jesus, Maureen, Mary, Patrick, joining in the prayers. It's all the listeners do that, and it's truly the kingdom of God, and that's where we really are blessed by that. So the phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. We have a prayer request. First of all, we'll pray for Susan, who's hospitalized in serious condition with issues pertaining to her pancreas. We'll start with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you will, if it's your most holy will, heal Susan with her issues with her pancreas. We pray, Lord, that you perform so many miracles during your lifetime and so many miracles now and the current days and throughout history. Lord, if it's your will, we pray you can give Susan, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual healing, and certainly the physical healing with her pancreas. We pray, Lord, that you will give strength to Susan's family and friends, that they may be able to assist her and pray for her and intercede for her. And Lord, we thank you for answering our prayer in your perfect timing. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We also have a prayer request for Elizabeth, who's an elderly woman who has a loss of vision and is finding it difficult to walk. So I'd like to pray for Elizabeth and any of our listeners who really are starting to have a loss of vision. We pray, Lord, that we always see through the eyes of our hearts. But when we lose the physical vision, it makes it a lot more difficult. We pray, Lord, that you can give Elizabeth healing of her vision and helping her to, in this difficulty to walk. We pray, Lord, that you can also allow Elizabeth and all those who are suffering from the physical loss of vision and blindness, we pray, Lord, that you may open up the eyes of their hearts so that they may really see things from the spiritual thing. We pray, Lord, that their hearing may become better and they'll be more perceptive to hearing your voice. Pray, Lord, for their spiritual hearing, that they'll be able to hear your voice speaking to their heart. And also we pray, Lord, that they will understand that you are with them. Pray to Elizabeth and know you're with them, and anybody going through blindness or who's blind right now, Lord, we certainly pray that they may be healed, but most importantly, we pray that they may be spiritually healed and they'll be able to see with the eyes of their heart for the rest of their earthly lives. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We also have a prayer request for Brian, who's got stomach and esophagus cancer. And we also pray for Molly, an 8-year-old girl who has leukemia and just was diagnosed with that and is beginning treatment. So we pray, Lord, for any of your listeners who are, particularly Brian and Molly, who have going through cancer. We pray, Lord, for physical, emotional, or spiritual healing for them, particularly this physical healing, Lord. We pray, if it's your will, you can change the cells to non-cancerous cells, Lord. You can will it if you wish, but we pray, Lord, that you may give support to their families and increase their really power of prayer and belief that you are there with them. We pray that, Lord, Brian and Molly and all those others with cancer will know that you're at their side and they'll feel your presence and they'll be able to carry this hardship that is with them certainly a lot better, Lord. It's so much easier to go through life with you in each moment with you than without you. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Amen. So the phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. And so I'm looking through. We're doing this live on Facebook Live, so I've got to continue to look up at the camera, but as I'm looking through my iPhone, there's a couple articles I wanted to read, and I'll read this one, which is actually an article that I had written into a website called Spirit Daily, and I was surprised that they indeed published the article and did that. So I'll read the article as I read it, and it's the best way to explain it. But what I want to preface it by saying is one of the greatest methods of healing we can receive is in the Eucharist. Certainly for every Mass, we have the liturgy of the Word, doing all the readings, and we're listening to that. Then we have the liturgy of the Eucharist, Jesus, and Jesus is truly the true healer. Jesus comes alive and he has offered his body and blood for us. And we have the ability and opportunity and grace as Catholics to be able to receive Jesus in that Eucharist. And I wrote to this website just explaining some of the things that have happened with me the last few years. So I'll read this as I do this. Dear Spirit Daily, I read one recent account of your readers, explaining how they saw many angels at Mass surrounding the altar. After reading that account, I'd like to share with you what has happened to me during each Mass for the last few years. When the priest says the words, "Send down your most holy spirit upon these gifts and become the body and blood of Jesus Christ," once the priest makes the sign of the cross and after repeating these words during the consecration, I see and am aware with the eyes of my heart that Mary is always kneeling at the right side of the priest, the priest's right side as he's facing the congregation. So if you're looking at the priest, it would be on the left side. So Mary's always at the right side, and St. Joseph's always on Mary's right side and kneeling in adoration of Jesus also. She will appear each time in different colored veils and gowns, so will St. Joseph. It seems to change each Mass and is based on her colored veil and dress, it will become apparent to me which past apparition she seems to be at that moment. She's appeared to me as Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Medjugorje, Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of the Immaculate Heart, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Cahibo, Our Lady of Knock, Our Lady of the Angels, the Rosa Mystica, and Our Lady of Mount Carmel. St. Joseph is always dressed in brown, or brown and tan, or brown and green. They're always both kneeling next to the priest in adoration of Jesus, and remain there until the priest consumes the precious body and blood of Christ. At times, I'll also be aware of many angels also bowing in adoration of Jesus. What this has shown me is that there's so much that happens at that magnificent part of the Mass, and I'm on high alert waiting for that special moment at each liturgy. Once I receive Jesus and I go back down to the back to the pew, I always say the St. Michael prayer, and then I say, "Jesus, I consumed you, and you totally consumed me. Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening." At that point, I'm made aware of an interior personal message to me from Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, a variety of saints, and sometimes St. Michael or St. Gabriel. They each give me encouraging words and perhaps direction for that moment or day, but always point to our triune God. I'm not stating this as if I'm someone special, but I would just like for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to realize the amazing things that happen after the priest utters these words and makes the sign of the cross, and through their holy orders, the greatest miracle of all time takes place at every Mass. I live in West Brandywine Township in Pennsylvania, just turned 70 years old, happily married, 4 kids, 8 grandkids, and lead a pretty normal life. Thanks for listening and keep up the good work with your website, Michael Altshuler. So I was a little surprised, but I was happy that they published that because I think it's important, and I'm glad to be able to speak to that on the air today for our listeners, that at Mass there's so much that happens at Mass, and if we let the eyes of our hearts become aware and really understand that, and for us to be at high alert when that priest does that consecration over the body and blood of Christ, and allow your most holy spirit to become the body and blood of Christ, it just happens just like that. And I'm really honored to be able to share that with your listeners, not for myself, I'm just a vessel, but basically so that you can be aware of what's happening in Mass. And then, you know, when you go back to the pew after you've consumed Jesus in the Eucharist, say a prayer. You know, the prayer just came to me, the Holy Spirit. "Jesus, I consumed you. You totally consumed me. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." And then listen. Just listen quietly. And there could be promptings or whatever, but that's a special time with Jesus, and really relish it, because we're never closer to him physically than at that time as we consume him, whether it's his body or his blood in the Eucharist. And as Catholics, we're so blessed to have the opportunity to receive Mass daily, and I encourage our listeners. So if anyone wants to comment or has to speak about the Eucharist, the Mass, certainly call in. The phone number is 610 527-2906 or 610-527-2906. Boy, now's when a time when I miss my friend Anton, because he's always certainly never short for words and explains things so very well. So as I'm going through this, I look forward to that. So if any of you listeners, you have any prayer requests, please call in and utilize this wonderful ministry of this InnoSign Network. And Kathleen McCarthy, as president, has really done a fantastic job in really being a voice of her Catholic faith. And it's what a blessing it is to be able to have the freedom to speak about our Catholic faith. There's so many places and countries in the world where we can't do this. And to share the word of Jesus and to speak about Jesus and and our faith and the Blessed Mother and the angels and the saints, that's really, truly a gift that we are blessed to have. So as we're going through right now, for our listeners and really anyone who's gone through physical problems, or there's just so many different types of illnesses that can be in today's world. And many of our listeners, you're going through them and you feel like you're on an island by yourself, or you feel like you're all alone, or you're in such pain that you really can hardly even pray, or you're suffering from depression. And you can't get out of it, or you're having a difficult marriage, or you're having problems with your kids. Whatever it might be, know that God loves you, and He's with you, and Jesus is always at your side, and just believe that, and just speak to Jesus in your own private way. Speak, say, you know, if your faith isn't that strong right now, or you're really questioning everything, say, Jesus, I wish to believe in you. Help me to believe in you. I wish to be healed. Help me believe that you can be healed. I wish to speak with you. Help me to speak with you and be aware of your presence. You know, or Jesus, my life just seems, there's no purpose in it. Help me to get some kind of purpose, or help me to in my relationships with others. Whatever it is, and it's for each of us, it's going to be different things, and there's different times of our lives when we have these physical ailments come up, or these spiritual battles come up, or whatever it might be, there is no situation that cannot be manageable if we believe and realize that Jesus is at our side, and He is the way, the truth, and the life, and He will get us through any difficult moments. I mean, when we're sick and we're told we have a terminal illness, it's a scary thing. But Jesus has written so many times in the Bible, has had complete healings with people, and they've had total healings. So everything in life has a purpose. And when we are in this earthly journey, just we have to remember we're not alone. And right now we're into our second or third week in Lent. And sometimes it's starting to get a little heavier. The steps are getting slower and thinking, oh man, these things that I said I was going to try to do for Lent, I'm not doing such a great job on it. How do I, you know, and you can kind of get a point of saying, well, I can't do this. I'm going to quit. I can't do it. But that's when we really have to say those more deeper prayers and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to be with us, to understand that Jesus is right there, to understand his Mother Mary is always at our side, always there to comfort us and guide us. The saints are always available to intercede for us, and some saints certainly, some people have different favorite saints that are always seem to be calling on them or speaking to them or guiding them. And that's really a big key, is God has given us, each of us, an angel. He's given us saints to intercede to. He's given us his Mother Mary to intercede to. He's given us himself, more so himself than anything else, all to bring us toward his Heavenly Father with the goal of spending eternity with him in heaven and with those we love. So just remind me, the last time on, really spoke quite a few prayers about the souls in purgatory. But today it seems to be the focus going to be on our individual souls, our souls and those we love, and how do we intercede for them. And as I'm speaking right now, some of the most difficult prayers are prayers for our family members. You think somehow that because you have a good faith that all your family members are going to have a great faith. And that's not really the same, because someone once said, God is not a grandfather. So just because you might have a good faith doesn't necessarily mean your kids are going to have a good faith, because they need that individual relationship with Jesus Christ and with God. But the key is, we can certainly pray for it in our time, and we can, when we start to get a little bit discouraged about perhaps a lack of faith in our kids and grandkids, we can pray for that. We can pray for them. And I've always noticed when I'm praying and really speaking to the Lord or to Mary or to different saints or to my guardian angel, it takes the weight off of our shoulders, because we're not alone. And that's exactly, the devil wants us to get panic and think we're all alone, and to get on an island by ourselves and think if we can't do it ourselves, we're failures, this and that. But the point is, God is always with us, and he wishes for each of his children to be in heaven eternally with him. And some of the greatest saints have been some of the greatest sinners. So there's no one that, with that change of heart, that Jesus won't be open to and to do that. And I think about just looking the other, last week at the crucifixion scene with the Apostle John and Mary and Mary Magdalene. Was there a greater sinner than Mary Magdalene? And her brother Lazarus and her sister, they prayed, I'm sure, for her, and thought it would be almost impossible for their sister Mary Magdalene to ever become a disciple of Jesus and change her lifestyle. And she ended up being one of the greatest saints. She was right there at the cross at the crucifixion, and one of the first ones that Jesus saw when he was resurrected. So there's nothing that's impossible with God, and know that he's got the perfect plan for each of us. So we're going to take a short commercial break now, and we'll be right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with his grace, and with his mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back. I'm Mike Altshuler on this In His Sign Network's Healing Day of Prayer. And we haven't had any phone calls yet, so one of you maybe won't want to just call in, let me know that you can even hear us at all like that. And sometimes you wonder, we don't hear anybody, if anybody is listening. So, but the phone number is 610-527-2906. Or toll-free 888-343-2484. And there's a couple of events I wanted to mention. There's one event tonight. I got an email tonight. It's a Mass and Healing Prayer Service at Our Lady of Fatima in Delaware County. It's tonight at 6:45, and all are invited to Our Lady of Fatima's quarterly First Friday Mass and Healing Service tonight at Prairies. Praise and worship begins at 6:45 p.m., and then 7 p.m. Mass and the Healing Prayer Service. The pastor, Reverend Roland Slobogan, is the celebrant. Prayer teams will be available for individual healing afterwards. Mark Griswold will provide the music. The location is Our Lady of Fatima, 1 Fatima Drive, Seacane, PA, in Delaware County. So, also, tomorrow morning, for any men, it's the annual Man Up Philly Conference at Cardinal O'Hara High School in Springfield. And it starts at, registration starts at 7:30. And so if any you are interested, you haven't signed up, you can still register. You can go to the website, Man Up Philly, or just register at that. But it's a great day. There's some great speakers. And every year, it's really upcoming. And last, I don't know how many, but I would think there's probably like 1,200 men were there last year, and they get quite a great turnout. It's really great to see the men in the area that come to that and get uplifted by it. So that's Man Up Philly Conference tomorrow. Starts 8 o'clock. You can register 7:30 at Cardinal O'Hara High School in Springfield, Pennsylvania. I wanted to speak about, I read an article this morning, and it was on suffering. And, you know, I thought about today, well, certainly when you're going through a physical illness, the suffering's there, but there's so many different types of suffering. And I'll read some of the article. It was a fellow, Pastor John, had wrote it, and it talked quite a bit about the Apostle Paul and suffering. But I'll just kind of read what it said, and if as you're willing to read it, feel free, please, to call in here at 610-527-2996 for any of your thoughts we discussed or any prayer requests, and go from there. So as this article goes, today we'll talk about personal suffering and the meaningfulness of Christian suffering. So often suffering feels meaningless, and we can get disheartened and feel like giving up, leading to today's question from Sam. Hello, Pastor John. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7-9 that he was afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken. What does he mean that he was persecuted but not forsaken? When I imagine the sufferings of Paul hitting my life, I would be immediately tempted to think that such harsh persecution would make me feel completely crushed and abandoned by God. Much lesser pain in my life brings me to the brink of this already. So how did Paul endure such pain without feeling totally defeated? And what has faith looked like in your life when your life was the hardest? Here's the text of what we're being asked to get inside of in 2 Corinthians 4:7-9. We have this treasure, namely this treasure of vital faith in Christ, who is the image of God, in jars of clay. That is, our bodies are fragile bodies and minds. So we have the beauty of God image inside us, and then we're just like a jar. We're like the clay part holding on to it. And all that's to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And Sam asks, how did Paul endure this being afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down? How did the Apostle Paul endure this the way he did? And he has in mind the magnitude and frequency of Paul's suffering. I doubt our listeners will have an immediate consciousness of how terrible this was for Paul, so I'm going to read it. This is one of the most surprising and staggering and appalling statements in Paul's life in the Bible. It says, he endured far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And, apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. That was in 2 Corinthians. And we complain. Sam's question is relevant because of how easily we grumble about our own circumstances when, in fact, none of us, I'm willing to say this to everybody listening to me, has endured what Paul did. So Sam asks, how did Paul endure such pain without feeling totally defeated, indeed abandoned by God? That's what he thinks, and I think Paul would give 3 answers. This pastor, John, saying this. Number one, I endured by God's keeping. Number one, I think he'd say, I was miraculously kept faithful by the Lord Jesus. It was a gift. It was a miracle. It was a work of God to keep me. That's why I didn't give in. His perseverance was a gift. Here's what he says in 2 Timothy. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. That's his basic answer on how he endured. The living, sovereign Lord Jesus Christ stood by Paul when nobody else did. He did not infer that because everyone abandoned him, God's not real. Since Christians are all a bunch of fakes, Jesus isn't real. He never went that direction, which so many people do today. In 1 Corinthians, he said that Christ sustains us to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, God is faithful, by whom we were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul enjoyed the fellowship with Jesus, and that's the key. Paul and ourselves, we have this fellowship with Jesus. And God held on to Paul and sustained him and preserved his faith through everything by giving him the enjoyment of fellowship with Jesus through it all. God began the work in Paul on the Damascus Road. And according to Philippians, he believes God will finish the work. So God calls, God keeps, God establishes, God glorifies. This is God's work. If any of us endures to the end, as a believer through suffering, it's God's grace that we endure. It's a gift. It's a supernatural work. So that's Paul's first answer. Second answer, I endured by sound teaching. As a second answer, I think he'd say, God preserved me, Jesus saved me and kept me by means of teaching me a true and robust theology of Christian suffering. And in that theology of Christian suffering, which kept him, was the conviction of God's absolute sovereignty over Paul's suffering, and that God is not only sovereign, but he's good and he's wise. Nothing befalls Paul but what God sends for his good purposes. If the Lord wills, James, and Paul agrees, we will live and do this or that. If he doesn't, we won't. We are immortal till God's work for us is done. God is sovereign. That's basic to Paul's and our endurance. In the first days after his conversion, remember that even his blindness was removed. Even before his blindness was removed there in Damascus, Ananias was sent to Paul, and he was sent with this message, I will show him, Christ says, how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. In other words, from the beginning, God made it clear to Paul, to serve me is to suffer. Suffering's not a detour, it's part of the path, part of the calling. Paul knew that all of God's wrath had been absorbed by Jesus when he died. So now there's no condemnation for Paul or for us in Christ. None of these horrible things that are happening to Paul is owing to God's wrath. What a relief. They're all part of God's fatherly, loving, disciplining ministry, advancing purposes for Paul, for the church, for the world. Some of his sufferings, he says, were the refining of his own faith. 2 Corinthians is amazing. He says, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That was God's purpose, to help Paul trust utterly in God by knocking all the props out from under his life so that there was only one place to fall, on God who raises the dead. And he trusted God. He trusted this profound knowledge of the role of suffering in the life of the believer. Another part of his theology of suffering was that no pain here is wasted, because it's producing a weight of glory beyond all comparison. This light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. In other words, even in those last horrible days and weeks of suffering before death, they seem so meaningless. Even in those hours, nothing is wasted because they are actually producing a greater weight of glory after death. I'll mention one more aspect of Paul's theology of suffering that's like a ballast in his boat to keep it from being tipped over by the sufferings. He says that his sufferings for the body of Christ were the filling up of what was lacking in the affliction of Christ. I rejoice in my sufferings, which is an amazing statement in itself. For your sake, and in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church. This was not because Christ's afflictions were lacking in any atoning merit. That's not the issue. That's not the problem. It was because Christ's afflictions were lacking in personal presentation to those for whom he suffered. Paul was saying, in my sufferings for you, I'm presenting to you Christ's sufferings for you so that you can see and feel his love for you in my suffering for you. And I think that's why many pastors or priests are called to suffer the way they are. Number three, I endured by God's promises. Paul's first answer to how he endured these crushing hardships was that Christ kept him, stood by him. And the second answer is that he kept him by means of a true and robust theology of Christian suffering. And finally, the third answer Paul would give us is, I was kept by the precious and very great promises of God. Promises like these. Promises that he says in Matthew 28, I will be with you to the end. In Hebrews 13, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In Romans chapter 8, I will work everything together for your good. In Isaiah chapter 41, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, in the Lord, none of your work is in vain. In Philippians, to live in Christ, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And in 2 Corinthians, to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. So these three answers on how Paul endured are our answers. I think that's our answer to Paul. I think that's our answer as well as Paul's answer. Paul lived his life for our sake. That's why he endured these things, so that we could see and learn the Lord kept him and will keep us. We should have a robust biblical theology of Christian suffering, and we should live through it all by precious promises. And that was done by John Piper, who's founder from Minneapolis, Minnesota. But I think that kind of is kind of long-winded and a long story. But even in the reading in the discipleship of Paul, Paul suffered quite a bit. He was one of the greatest evangelists the church has known and had gotten so many converts to Christianity from the Gentiles. But it wasn't easy. So I say to each of your listeners, you might feel like, and you're justified, if you're in a lot of pain, you're hurting, you're depressed, you have addictions, you can't get over, you feel helpless, you're angry, you're hurt, you've gotten hurt by others. All these are, God has a plan for you. He doesn't create the problems for you, but he's with him. All he wants us to do is ask for his help, is to put our hands out, like, Lord, help me, as compared to make fists and clench and keep everything to ourselves. You know the difference, if you listeners, if you just clench your fists and you pull them in tight to your chest and you try to do things yourselves, it usually doesn't end up in a good result. But when you open your arms and say, Lord, help me, Lord, I wish to believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I know you can heal me, please heal me. Lord, I'm broken, please help my brokenness. Lord, I don't have faith, help my unfaithfulness, help me become strong. And there are just so many things that each of our listeners, if you know that, you're never alone with God. So I want to do a prayer right now for all of you listeners. And with that, dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for being with us and being our Lord and Savior. Lord, you died on the cross, a terrible death of crucifixion. I can't imagine how painful it must have been and how difficult. And you, Lord, who could have destroyed everyone around you who was trying to kill you and crucify you, but yet you gave up your life. You extended your hands out. And you trusted in your Father to get through this because you know you had to die for all of our sins. Lord, we pray that all of our listeners, particularly in this Lenten period, that as we look at you on the crucifix, we look at you on the cross, we see the love that you did for each of us. When we look at the cross, we don't look away, but we look toward it. We look through the depth of what we see you to try to look through to your Sacred Heart and realize what love you, what great love you gave for each of us by giving your life. Because with you, you have said you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through you. Lord, pray for each of us that we will grow closer to you this very moment, this day, that we'll invite you into our lives. We'll ask you and share with you our what we think are sufferings, and maybe they might be that bad, but for us they seem so terrible. Lord, we pray for you to give us hope in our unhopefulness. Pray you can give us strength in our weakness. Pray, Lord, you can give us the ability to love in our unlovingness. Lord, there's so many prayers that we can ask for. We pray in our hopelessness that you can give us hope. Because, Lord, you have said you're the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father for you. You've said in this upcoming weekend's readings that destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it, meaning the temple of your body. Lord, we pray that there's death cannot hurt us. It's only an opening for life, eternal life with you at our side. So, Lord, we pray that particularly for all of our listeners, any of them that are experiencing any kind of pain, suffering, neediness, or just a coldness of heart, we pray, Lord, in this special time of Lent, that you can heal our broken hearts. We pray, Lord, that you can allow us to believe and have hope that you hear us and are with us and will get us through these difficult times of whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual pain that we're suffering through. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in advance for answering our prayers. In your name we pray, amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Well, that prayer, the gift of prayer is really a thing of the Holy Spirit and can really guide it. And so I'm sure there's listeners who, all of us could be touched in different ways because we all do need healing. So if anybody in particular is touched and you really felt that healing mercy of God, please give us a call and let us know. And if there's anyone who it spurned you to think about someone else and pray for them, pray, Lord, call in. We pray that each of you that you will call in and ask for some intercessory prayers for them. The phone number is 610-527-2906. So 610-527-2906. Sometimes we forget, and I do it myself too, is that we can read in the Bible or hear the stories of Jesus, how he healed the sick, how he made the lame walk, how he helped the blind to see, how he helped the deaf to hear, how he just totally had conversions of the worst of sinners, the impossible cases or demoniacs that were hopeless and living themselves. But Jesus came to where they were at in their lives, and he listened to them, and he gave them love. And that same Jesus is the same Jesus that is with us right now, here. He is only a heartbeat away, All we have to do is ask for him, believe in him, and know that that is the same Jesus that did all these magnificent healings and acts of mercy, as we read in the Gospels. He's the same Jesus that's with us each moment of our lives. And what a gift that is, because we're certainly not worthy of that, but Jesus continually is saying that. And he gives us so many different helpers to be with that. He gives us his mother to intercede with, and she said so full of love and hope. And Saint Joseph, you know, at every Mass, it must be so important that they're at every Mass by his side in adoration to do that. Jesus gives us himself in the Eucharist. And I really pray for each of your listeners, when you attend Mass the next time, that you really pay attention during that consecration by the priest saying over those gifts, and allow the bread and wine to become the body and blood of Christ. And know that that is the most magnificent miracle in our modern day happening. And that truly turns the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And each of you have the ability, each of us have the ability to receive Jesus and receive his healing power. And he's physically close to us then. And if some of you are homebound and you haven't been communicating, call the local parish. See if someone will bring you communion. There's a homebound ministry in most parishes, and people would be more than honored to bring Jesus to you in the Eucharist, to bring your communion to you. So sometimes I look through Lent as it's a tough time. It's like, we got a couple more weeks to go, and it's really hard. But I'm excited to... enthusiastic to realize what are the opportunities we have in the weeks ahead, or the day ahead, or the hour ahead, to grow our relationship closer to Jesus, to allow him into our lives and truly be the way, the truth, and life, because that's what Jesus wants. He truly is there to be with us, and he will not turn his back on anyone. So if there's anything gotten by today, that this wonderful hour that the Inside Mystery has allowed us to share on the air, to share the life of Jesus Christ in him, is to know that you're loved. Jesus will always be with you. He listens to you. We need to sometimes slow down and listen to him. If any of you, perhaps you could make it part of your Lenten thing, is to get to an adoration chapel or get before the tabernacle and spend an hour of quiet time just listening to Jesus, being with him, listening to him, because he wants to listen to you and to his hearts. And it's hard to believe that each of us are so important to Jesus, but as he says constantly, he is love and mercy, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And that's really it. So I want to end with the Lord's Prayer, and thanks for listening. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Amen.